This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. It's our pleasure to welcome hockey royalty to the program, the one and only Chris Pronger. Chris, great to be with you. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks, Frank. How about yourself?
Everything's good. Before we start talking hockey, I want to talk about your son, the basketball player from MICDS. He's long and lean, and you made sure he developed his outside jump shot. Boy, this is a good-looking player. You love watching him play.
I do. Well, I don't know if I was the one that did his outside jump shot, but he's certainly enjoying the game and have a lot of fun playing. And he's a sponge right now, taking it all in, and he's got a tremendous work ethic. He's really put a lot of time in over the last couple of years to get better, and it's paying dividends right now. So very happy for him and excited to see him continue to progress.
How big is he now? How big will he get?
He's 6'6 right now and still growing. So, maybe possibly 6'8. You know, he'll be anywhere between 6'6 and 6'8, I would guess.
6'8 with a jump shot. There's a future there. When did you know that he was going to choose the right sport, basketball, and not hockey?
I didn't really. You know, I always, every year when my kids were playing hockey, I always asked them if they wanted to keep playing, if they enjoyed it, if they were having fun, if they wanted to do something else. And my middle son, George, actually decided to quit hockey first and started playing basketball. And I think my oldest son, Jack, just saw how much fun he was having and started playing outside with him and realized that maybe basketball was for him and started working on his game and having a lot of fun doing it.
And I bet your lovely bride didn't mind that they chose basketball instead of hockey.
No, exactly. That always helps too. It's I think it takes a little bit of pressure off them. They don't have to live up to the expectations that some people put on them, and they can just go out and have fun and enjoy the sport the way it's supposed to be.
Are you more nervous watching him play or when you played?
I don't know if I get nervous. I kind of just get intense watching the game and I just want to see him have fun and work hard and play to the best of his abilities. I know he's not going to be perfect every night, but the effort can be there and the hard work and from that comes a lot of learning and things of that nature. So he's doing a great job right now and having fun doing it.
I see you at Billiken games too. Do you love the sport?
I do. I like it. You find something you have in common with your kids, and I enjoy watching it. My kids both play it and enjoy going to the game. So it's a lot of fun. They've got a good team down there, and they're a fun team to watch play. So it's been a great experience for me and my boys, and something that we'll continue to do.
So tell me about this role as the senior advisor of hockey operations with the Florida Panthers, where you get to spend most of your time here in St. Louis. Tell me about what you do.
Well, I kind of do a lot of different things, really. I pro scout out of here in St. Louis, so I get to a number of Blues games, and then just recently came off a 5-day road trip doing some amateur scouting for the upcoming draft in Vancouver this year. And then obviously track our team and our prospects and so I'm kind of running the gamut and not overseeing but watching over kind of all of hockey operations and being available to Dale whenever he needs me, if he's got any questions about certain players, if he wants to get my opinion on somebody. So I try to stay as current as possible on everybody in the league. And certainly, as we discuss potential moves or players that may be available and things of that nature, I'm up to speed on kind of what's going on.
Is this the perfect job or where you get to stay in your hometown, or would it be a better job if you were the president of hockey operations?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that right now. It's certainly what has worked well for me and my family right now. And I think, Dale and I agreed that we'd kind of take it slow and you know, feel my way through. He's been great to work for. He's a tremendous mentor and somebody who has got a wealth of knowledge in hockey and being a manager and running a hockey team. So he's been somebody that I've been able to learn a lot from and certainly, you know, being able to work for him and have these hockey conversations regarding, you know, whether it be potential moves or what teams are trying to do, why they're doing it, things of that nature, certainly helps me moving forward and trying to put the pieces together as it relates to looking three or four moves down the road and why a certain team would move somebody and what they're opening up to try to do in the future. So it's been a lot of fun. He's been great to work for and looking forward to continuing to do so.
Your club was similar to the Blues, if I remember. I think you missed the playoffs by 1 point last year, but you're playing better than the Blues this season. You're 500 club. How do you see Florida right now?
It's been an up and down year so far. We've played okay. I feel like we've really scored a lot of goals. We're not having a problem scoring goals. We've probably given up a few too many shorthanded goals, and we need to, you know, I think tighten up our 5-on-5 play a little bit, but we're just either giving up, you know, we're making the mistake at the wrong time. We're giving up a goal at the wrong time. And whether it be we're losing games late in the third period or losing games in overtime or in a shootout, we're right there in every game. It's not like we're getting blown out. We're competitive. We're there. It's just a matter of learning how to win those games as opposed to losing them. And, you know, last year late, we went on that run the last 40, 50 games where we played extremely well. And you hope to carry that over into the next season. But as we know, it's just not how the game works. Each and every year is separate and unto itself, and you got to go out there and make your own magic, if you will, and we're trying to find that again right now.
With you and your scouting duties, you've seen a lot of the St. Louis Blues, and you look at that roster on paper, it's very talented. Are you stunned at what has happened?
Well, I think, you know, a little bit, but I don't know what's going on inside the locker room. You know, what they're discussing, within management and all the rest of that. I think when you just see the start they've had, with the expectations that were placed on the team, you can tell there's frustration and disappointment amongst the players and the staff. And, you know, you certainly, you would think that they'd be able to figure it out here as they continue to go on throughout the season.
How important is the captain? Is that overrated now? It seems like back when you played, it was really an important thing. Do you think the captain plays a huge role in setting the tone in the locker room?
Well, I think it's a leadership group in general. I don't think it's just one guy. You know, certainly you look to your captain at certain moments, whether it be during the course of a game, during the course of a tough stretch like they're in right now. But there's a leadership group. It can't always be the same guy over and over standing up, you know, being rah-rah or what have you. There needs to be a balance amongst the leadership group, and certain guys need to step up and be accountable and hold their teammates accountable and all the rest of that stuff. So, in my opinion, it needs to be the group pulling the herd along. You need a strong captain and somebody that's going to lead, whether it be a vocal leader, lead by example, blood and guts, whatever type of leader that guy is, they need to be themselves and bring it to the table. And then the rest of the group kind of fills in from there. If you got a quiet captain, like I've played for before, then you need vocal leaders outside of that player. So it kind of runs the gamut, and you need a strong core group of leaders to help pull the group along.
When you watch Vladimir Tarasenko this year, what are you seeing?
He's kind of been snake bit a little bit. He gets three or four opportunities a game. Early on he was missing the net a lot, and I think that was – a little bit of concern. I think teams have played him a little bit tighter and haven't given him the space to, you know, fake a shot, cut to the middle, or the space to kind of shoot through the defenseman. They're playing very tight and trying to force the puck out of his hands. So, you know, you have to continually adapt your game and adapt to find space to, you know, he's clearly got one of the best shots in the game, but, you know, he's got to find a way to get open and get that shot off.
Let me talk a little bit about your career. Are there ever times, like right now, where you have a chance to, like, reflect on what you actually accomplished? I mean, when you think about this, second pick in the draft, you become the first defenseman to win the MVP since Bobby Orr. You win a Stanley Cup. You win two gold medals. I mean, did you think this was coming, or did you, like, shock yourself that you had that kind of career?
Well, I don't think you set out, you know, your first goal is to, you know, you dream of playing the NHL, you dream of playing on the highest stage. And from there, you kind of go, all right, you know, I got the junior. I was like, oh, I can play in this league. And then you get to the NHL and you start moving along. You're like, well, I can play here. And then you start, you know, it's a gradual progression of, you know, always setting the bar higher, always doing a little bit more and pushing yourself. You know, you can't be happy with where you're at. You're always striving for the next goal or excellence, if you will, or, you know, whatever the next hurdle is. And you got to continually push yourself to get better and better and better. And that's something that I've always done throughout my time playing hockey, is once you've achieved one goal, you can't be satisfied. You got to continually push yourself and you know, try to be the best player, always learning, always trying to do things the right way and play the game to the best of your abilities. And if you do that, you're going to be happy and proud of the way you played the game.
You know, even though you won your cup with the Ducks, I think most people would agree the best hockey you played was here in St. Louis. It also was the most difficult. Take me back to how much pressure there was on you when you're traded for Brendan Shanahan and Mike Keenan is your coach, and some of those conversations he must have had with you about trading Shanahan for you.
Yeah, there was no pressure. I never got booed and all the rest of that fun stuff that happened throughout the course of that first year I was here in St. Louis. But it was hard. It was a tough transition. You know, as a 20-year-old, you're coming in, there's a lot of pressure, you're traded for a fan favorite, not a lot of fans were pleased with the trade at the time, and voiced their opinions rather loudly, but you know, I think when you have that type of adversity that I had over the course of my 2 years in Hartford, and then my first year here in St. Louis, if you're able to overcome that stuff and come out on the right side of it, and be a you're going to be a better person, you're going to have a greater appreciation for what you do have and how you play the game, that's going to help propel you forward and push you, you know, as I said earlier, for excellence and trying to play to the best of your abilities and always trying to get to the next hurdle. You know, you're climbing up that ladder, get to the next rung and set attainable goals and continually trying to achieve them and pulling yourself higher. And you know, it was not the easiest of times. I was the whipping boy for a long time here. And, you know, you get past that stuff as you mature. And, you know, I was a 20-year-old when I first got here and 31-year-old when I left. You learn an awful lot about yourself over that time. And you go through different ups and downs and situations that kind of make your character and allow you to be the person that you are.
What was your most brutal Keenan story or exchange?
There were many. I was the whipping boy. I was in his office after every period, after every game. He had me traded about 25 different times. And finally it was, he's like, I'm going to trade. I go, well, go ahead, do it. I don't care anymore. And I think once I got to that point where I said, I don't care, that's when everything kind of fell off my shoulders. And, all right, you just got to go play. Don't worry about him yelling behind the bench. Don't worry about the fans booing you. Just go play the game. And at that point, that's when my game kind of took it to the next level. And you know, I just kind of relaxed. And there's a reason I was there. There's a reason that that they held me in that regard to trade me for Brendan Shannon. I just needed to go play the game and play to the best of my abilities, and that's what I did.
Have you read Cujo's book? Have you heard about it?
I have heard about it. I have not read it.
I mean, some of the stuff, he has these direct exchanges that Keenan had with him. And let's face it, Cujo was a pretty mild-mannered guy. Here's one quote. Keenan says to him, "It's obvious you aren't a part of this team and you don't go out with the guys. You hang around home with your bleeping wife and kids."
I guess that's a bad thing.
Yeah, you're a terrible guy because you're hanging out with your wife and kids.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, too, about Colton Parayko. I know you've been asked about this before, but because of the size and the position and the team, there's obvious comparisons. What are you seeing with Parayko at this stage of his career?
Well, I think you see his ability to make a good outlet pass. You see the size clearly. The long stick, the ability to defend with his length, the hard shot from the back end. I think, his number's 55, I was 44. You know, I think you just look at the different comparables, if you will. I don't think he plays the way I do.
Because clearly, in what way?
But, he doesn't play physical. So, I think that's where the comparison ends.
I know you don't think about things like this, but you are one of the greatest players in Blues history. You spent 11 years here. Do you ever think, or has anybody ever brought it up, a statue for Chris Pronger outside Enterprise? Anybody ever bring it up to you?
No. No.
Well, no. You deserve one. There's no doubt about it.
Well, thanks, Frank.
All right, young man, you will see you at the rink tonight, and we greatly appreciate your time.
All right, my pleasure. Take care.
All right, Chris Pronger joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I mean, how does he not? He's 11 years here. He's one of the greatest players in Blues history. How do you not put him? How do you not give him a statue? And those statues are the greatest things ever. The Blues do a wonderful job with it. I think he absolutely deserves it, despite the fact that he played with other teams. I mean, it's not like every one of those guys out there. Let's see. Al played with Calgary. Brett played with Calgary. Bernie Federko had a couple of stops.
And Chris's departure wasn't up to Chris either.
That's right.
He was sold for parts to Edmonton during a team sale.
Eric Brewer.
Yes.
Eric Bleeping Brewer. Wow. That symbolized that franchise going downward in a precipitous fashion when you traded Chris Pronger for Eric freaking Brewer. Oh, my goodness. All right, before we go to break, quick word about Hollywood Casino. They're our title sponsor. We're going to be out there tomorrow. There's going to be a little station gathering, but I encourage you to go out there anytime. Check out that rink being built. It is really looking good. There's no doubt about it. And also 99 Hops House, where you can get 99 different beers to choose from. Great appetizers, great entrees. We love it there. And Final Cut Steakhouse is outstanding, too. We appreciate Hollywood Casino being one of our title sponsors. And also Maryville University. As we've mentioned, they sponsor the phone lines on this program, and we encourage you to go to maryville.edu for more information. Their students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.